A private member's proposal brought forth by the independent member for Warringah, Zali Steggall, is now before federal parliament and has been endorsed by hundreds of groups, including a major business lobby group and corporations like Tesla and Origin Energy. The legislation, among other things, is calling for a target of net zero emissions by 2050. Joining me on the line to talk about the legislation is Zali Steggall herself. Zali Steggall, welcome to 2SER Drive.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Tina.
You must be thrilled by the support you are getting for this bill. Hundreds of submissions are now before Parliament, either backing it in full or with some amendments. Besides the 2050 target, you're also asking in this legislation for the government to set a rolling emissions budget and to establish an independent climate change commission. Do you think this could help to depoliticise the formation of policy around climate change?
Absolutely. And that was very much my goal going into that. And it was actually my goal coming into politics, was actually as an independent to try and find that sensible path forward. I think our climate policies got derailed by probably political personal ambition over the last 10 years. And as a result, we're really starting to lag behind other countries. So what the climate change bills do is, and very much modelled on the UK's legislation, we lock it into law so that it basically immunises our climate policy from changes of government and leadership spills and all the things that can happen in politics. We lock in where we want to go. So net zero by 2050 is the latest mark by which we need to reach that goal. And then how do we get there? We get there with regular 5-year emission reduction budgets that are assessed and set by the minister, but with the recommendations of an independent climate change commission that's looking at all the factors that go into that and making sure that we're focusing on all sectors, not just energy, but we need to look at transport, we need to look at construction, we need to look at sustainability. There's a lot of areas we can look at.
Some might argue, though, that a net zero emissions by 2050 target is actually quite conservative and not really bold enough. Many countries are being encouraged to ramp up targets. A number of scientists are saying that net zero emissions actually needs to be achieved by 2030 to prevent dangerous global warming.
Look, I totally accept the science that we do, in fact, need to get to net zero as soon as possible. But we've also got to be realistic as to the level of transition some of our sectors need to do and what's going to be required. And I don't think it's constructive to be just critical in terms of saying it's too slow. But then if we don't get started, we won't get there at all. So what the bill provides for is actually a model that can be ratcheted up. So we can set 5-year emission budgets by which we can get more and more ambitious as we go. But what we know is at the moment, if we continue to emit emissions at the rate we are going, we're using up our budget for the future, essentially. So the sooner we get moving and the sooner we act decisively, the more cost-effectively we can get to net zero, we can start neutralising global warming, and we can start seeing a lessening of climate change and, you know, unprecedented weather events and really the big disruptions that are coming to our way of life. Now, the sooner we can do that, the better. But we do have a lot of sectors that need to come on board, and we have to, you know, you have to be mindful of all sectors of the community need to support it. So the key is actually that sensible plan that everyone can get on board with, and we can confidently ratchet up our ambition as we go.
As mentioned, some corporations that are backing the legislation are asking for some amendments. What compromises do you foresee having to make?
Welcome that, because it's actually what's been so missing from our climate change discussions for the last 10 years at political level, is we've had both parties have their say and they've very much polarised the debate. What we haven't had is actually the private sector and business and industry really had that opportunity to publicly say, what do they need to successfully transition? You know, what does every sector need so that they can have the stability, the policy stability and the confidence to transition in an effective way? We need to look at it from a industrial relations point of view. We need to be, make sure that jobs and regions are taken care of. We need to make sure food and water security is there, and we need to protect the environment and obviously the economy. So all these factors are really play a part. And that was why I asked for the bills to be referred to inquiry to the Environment and Energy Committee, and have very much welcomed and encouraged the private sector and all sectors and individuals to make submissions. Because, look, the Prime Minister has said in question time he won't be told by foreign nations what to do, that he will set Australia's climate policy in Australia. Well, I would very strongly say, and I would urge him, read the submissions, see what the Australian business community is telling you of what they need for policy certainty.
The Morrison government is, of course, opposed to the legislation, but Labor are yet to confirm or deny their support. Do you think you will end up getting backing from the opposition?
Look, the opposition have committed to net zero by 2050, so I would argue if they want to have any legitimacy around their stance, they absolutely have no choice but to back the bills. And the reality is, if we had a conscience vote tomorrow in Parliament, you would see 70 to 80% of the Parliament support the legislation. What we know is the vast majority of MPs, of senators, of our community know that this is what we need. We need to stop the climate wars. We need to stop having arguments about where we need to get to. We know we need a stable environment. We know to thrive, you know, our way of life, our economy, everything needs a stable environment. And to get to a stable environment, we know we need a net zero outcome when it comes to our emissions. So I would argue the opposition has, you know, if it wants any legitimacy when it comes to climate policy, it has to support the bill and the framework. And I would argue the coalition as well. This is a legislation that is modelled on conservative policy in the UK, but actually bipartisan. Both Labor and both sides of politics have supported this legislation and have vouched for the fact that this is effective. In fact, the inquiry has received a submission from the Climate Change Committee from the UK that was established under their act, and it vouches for the effectiveness of this approach. So any MP, regardless of what side or what political party they adhere to, if they're legitimate in saying to their constituents that I want to work towards a more productive and positive climate policy, then they should be behind this bill.
Australia is increasingly globally isolated on this issue. Even the UK's Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who he's a Conservative politician, he seemed to criticise Scott Morrison on his government's inaction on climate change. Do you think now that Joe Biden will become the next president of the United States, our government might actually start to change their tune? They are a very important foreign ally.
Absolutely. Look, there's no doubt that the election of Biden in the US was a game changer in terms of climate policy around the world. It will see the US rejoin the Paris Agreement, and it will see the US with countries like the UK and the EU unite in leading the push for decarbonisation and action around climate change. So that's really important. And what it means is that Australia is really isolated. You know, we're in a handful of countries, and not exactly countries that I would argue are allies to Australia, in not stepping up to what's expected of us from our global allies. So there's no doubt that seeing the election of Biden and Trump going means Prime Minister Morrison can't hide behind, a Trump America that was denying needing to act on climate change. So I think that's a huge part. We now have 70% of our two-way export trade that is now covered by net zero goals. So we absolutely have to step up. All the private and investment sectors are telling me we face real prospects of border carbon tariffs if we don't align our climate change policies with the rest of the world. So, look, we're already seeing that, the language changed, the talking points have changed from the government and from the Prime Minister. You know, 2 months ago in question time, the Prime Minister ridiculed a net zero goal as something that would wreck the economy. And only a couple of weeks ago was talking about how it was very much, he would like to be at net zero and he would like to aim for net zero. So there's no doubt the language is changing. They are trying to pivot without looking like it's a change of policy. To be totally frank, I don't care whether, you know, how you change to. I sort of want 2020 to be a line in the sand where we stop looking at the past, stop looking at who did what when and the past. We actually all need to come together to create a better future, and we need to be very realistic and honest about what the goal needs to be and what it's going to take to get there.
Well, very interesting times ahead indeed. Zali Steggall, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER Drive.
Thank you very much.